can help you out. Tell you who to start at QB, make you the king of fantasy. Check out the matchups. Now use all the experts and our tools at the FanDuel Manual. The Manual.
Welcome back to week 14 of the FanDuel Manual Football Podcast. We had a little bit of a holiday break. All of us were very busy and traveling. Actually, we got to see each other, which was pretty nice. Chris came down for, Doug was down in Orlando for a little while, and then Chris came down, so all three of us were together. Chris stayed a little bit longer, and we watched the Denver Broncos-New England Patriots game, which was really fun during the first half for me and then really fun during the second half for Chris. It ended, let's just say, the next day afterwards, we both apologized to each other, and we're still friends, and we're still doing the podcast.
I was so sad about the game for the Broncos, but I was more sad for Brendan because I couldn't imagine what he was probably going through. Mm.
I thought it was, I handled it like a gentleman this year. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Gentlemen. The language improved.
Gentleman is really low in New England.
I was an alehouse gentleman.
That makes more sense. Well, Doug, how was your Thanksgiving break?
It was great. We actually were in San Francisco, and I found a Denver Broncos bar in San Francisco, where there was hundreds of Broncos fans, and it was the funnest thing ever, just like you, for the first half. And then there was four New England Patriots fans that pretty much ruined my life in the second half. So it was
like
a tough game.
I think barging in on a funeral home.
Oh, it was brutal. They took a lot of heat in the first half, so I can't blame them.
Chris, what about you? What was your how was your Thanksgiving?
It was all right. you know.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us, since we were off, we took a little 2-week break there, but we still had the FanDuel Expert League. Why don't you give a shout out and talk a little bit about the last three winners?
Yeah. So our whole thing for the free FanDuel League is we want to recognize the winners and give them a little bit of an airtime shout out. So since we haven't been able to give credit to our winners, I want to do that right now. So 3 weeks ago, I believe that was Brandon's brother, Kyle Barnett, or Kai Barnett, as his FanDuel name is. He scored 131 points. Some of his better picks that week were Cam Newton, Antonio Brown, and Rashard Jennings. And 3 weeks ago, Rashard Jennings wasn't really getting the publicity that he's been getting since. So that was a nice value pick at that point. Overall, for Kyle, though, a good job with consistent picks all around. He had several guys in the teens and 20s, so I think that's very respectable. 2 weeks ago...
Attaboy, brother.
There you go. 2 weeks ago, my little guy, 3, scored 151 points with a very consistent team. He selected several players who scored all in the 20s, including Jamal Charles with a high of 29. What was nice about when you check out this guy's team, I don't know who he is personally, but it's always nice to spend a lot of cash on a stud player and have him perform well, and that's kind of what happened with Charles. And it's a good lesson to be learned there. He put a lot of money into Charles, but he was so savvy with his other picks. And again, no real superstar flying off, you know, with a 40-point day. It's just good consistency across the board. And then last week, we had Kirk Pav with a P. Kirk Pav won, had an amazing week with 158 points. His highest score was Alshon Jeffrey, who scored, I believe, 42 points. He also had some solid picks going with Josh McCown, a value pick at quarterback, and good production out of Adrian Peterson, who both scored in the 20s. I believe last week, not only in FanDuel, but in fantasy leagues across the country, was the highest scoring fantasy week among players this year. So
players are just wide receivers. I know wide receivers went off.
Yeah, wide receivers went off. So, like, top scores in general, the high scores for the week were the highest point getters of the year. Peyton Manning did it again. We had Alshon Jeffrey, Josh Gordon, like you mentioned. We had Eric Decker. Other big games came from names some of them you might expect. Seattle defense really pulled through. Again, like we said, Adrian Peterson was Adrian Peterson. Gronkowski was Gronkowski. Ben Tate finally came through against the suspect Patriots run defense. Roddy White returned, got in the time machine a little bit, and had a good week. CJ Spiller, as Doug pointed out, going into Sunday's games. And Donald Brown, who I found out very recently, I mean very close to game time, Richardson was demoted to second string, and Donald Brown kind of pulled through. I think he scored in the high teens. And again, it's sort of nice to have these big stars actually doing what big stars are supposed to do. And then you have, you know, a couple of the underdog guys, which sort of makes FanDuel what it is. So all around, good week.
Yeah, for sure it was a big week across the board, specifically for those three wide receivers, Eric Decker, Alshon Jeffrey, and Josh Gordon. I'm sure we'll get into talking a little bit about those guys when we get into wide receivers, but let's start off with our quarterbacks. So for this week, if you go on to the website, FanDuelManual.com, you can download the spreadsheet where you can get all this information. I'm going to give you the top three picks or the top projected point scorers and best bargains at each of the positions. So for QB, the highest projected point scorers are Matt Stafford, Peyton Manning, and Cam Newton, not surprisingly. And then the best bargains are Alex Smith, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Andy Dalton. Sort of my lock it's not really a surprise pick in Matthew Stafford this week. He's projected to score the most points this week on the road against the Eagles, and that's obviously for a reason. The Eagles are the fifth worst in the NFL against QBs, and Stafford so far this season is the third most productive fantasy QB behind Breeze and Manning, and he actually even has more yards than Breeze does in 3,800 this season. I think, though, the best weapon that the Eagles might have at slowing down Stafford is going to be the weather. It looks like close to freezing, and there's a chance of sleet, so it's going to be about 34 degrees with a chance of sleet. So anytime there's weather like that, you know, you get a little bit nervous, but if you're going to spend the money, I think Matthew Stafford's a solid pick this week. What are you guys looking at for QBs this week?
Well, I just want to, before we get too deep into it, I want to let our viewers know that I've won 6 out of the last 7 weeks. I know Chris is going to bring up that he's won 7 total, but he's only won 1 out of the last 7 weeks. So I think it's been pretty much a Thanksgiving/Christmas miracle. And I agree. That rolling right this week with my locks. My lock is Nick Foles, 22 plus fantasy points in 4 straight games. Now he's playing the Lions secondary that has allowed multiple passing touchdowns in 5 of the last 6 games. He's not quite as much as Stafford. He's playing in much better weather, and I think, well, if I can, you know, and I just think that for sure is a lock. The guy's playing amazing. He had 1 week where he did nothing, and all 3 of us chose him for that week. Besides that, he has like 21 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. It's unbelievable.
I think his value reflects that. He's $9,000 this week, and I think there's not a lot of guys in that range. Cam Newton's in that range, and then above that, you're talking about Matthew Stafford and Peyton Manning. I mean, and Drew Brees, obviously, but I do want you to know, it does say, actually on the website I'm on, it says 40 degrees Fahrenheit and ice pellets will be happening in Philadelphia.
I don't like that. I don't like that term.
Ice pellets. But I don't know if this is a European site or what, but
it's coming from the Philadelphia fans.
Ice pellets, whatever. I feel like that's still going to be a crazy high scoring game. Both of them are crazy offenses.
It's going to be ice pellets and empty Pabst Blue Ribbon cans falling on the field.
As long as it's not a tornado.
Chris, what do you think about that Nick Foles pick?
I think it's a good pick. I think it's a boring, safe pick. I think it's very conservative. I don't like to play that way. I went with in my league, and I've been going with him in a few different FanDuel leagues, and he's been consistent as well. Alex Smith, really good value at 7,700. He's in a position now where the defense isn't what it used to be, so he's forced to air the ball out. I think the FanDuel blurb mentions that a little bit too. They're getting into shootouts, and whether you're Peyton Manning or Alex Smith or anybody in between, it's nice to be a quarterback in a shootout from a fantasy perspective. They're also in a position, Kansas City is, where they've lost three in a row after starting undefeated. Yeah. And every game now is pretty huge for them until they lock up at least it's going to have to be a wild card spot in the playoffs. So they need this game badly. Washington's season is essentially over. So I don't think that playing at Washington, I don't think there's going to be a big crowd disadvantage for KC because Washington's pretty much done. So KC needs it bad. Washington does not need it at all. And Alex Smith is passing more. I think it's a good cocktail for a nice week out of Alex Smith.
Yeah, just to add to that a little bit, Washington is sixth worst against QBs this season, giving up on average 20 points per game to QBs. And I will tell you, as a Bronco fan, I watched that Kansas City-Denver game. Alex Smith wasn't the reason that they lost that game. He was putting that ball right on the money, and his receivers were just dropping it. Now, I don't think he got new receivers this week, but I think that those guys are – I think they come up with a few of those catches, and it's a much bigger game, much bigger day for everybody on that team, and Alex Smith is included in that.
Well, I think that the – as much as it pains me, is the Broncos' pass defense is not that great. So I think that has a big play on Alex Smith. That's why I think, as my steal this week, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a good play. I would never play him because I can't cheer against the Broncos like that. But
yeah, I agree.
The Broncos' D continues to give up big offense to quarterbacks. They're very good against the run, which forces teams almost to throw. And then people just end up being, like you said, the Chiefs receivers were wide open. They didn't catch them, but they are wide open. There are some holes in the Broncos' D right now. So if you want to save some money, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a steal.
Yeah, he's the second overall bargain after Alex Smith. And both those guys, Fitzpatrick projected over 17, Alex Smith projected just under 19. I think Fitzpatrick is a really smart quarterback. I think he's a smart quarterback because he went to Harvard.
Oh, okay.
and he's also part of the Mensa Society.
No, he's not.
I don't like the Fitzpatrick pick at all, Doug. A steal, especially. I think. Well, this is gonna be an emotional roller coaster for you. I hate your pick because he's playing at Denver. I think Denver's defense is not that bad. They basically shut down New England in the first half. Granted, they got turnovers. But at the end of the day, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is Ryan Fitzpatrick. And there's a few guys below him on FanDuel, such as Andy Dalton for 2,000 less. McCown and Cutler are both less. As of the podcast, we don't know if Cutler's going to play or not. But I would suggest that whoever does start for Chicago is a great pick, playing against a weak Dallas secondary again for $300 less than Fitzpatrick right there.
I wouldn't trust Andy Dalton to watch my cat. Guys, inconsistent. Hold on,
hopefully Fitzpatrick's available.
Look, he will be.
I'm glad you brought that up about McCown and Cutler because that is the Monday night game, correct? And I don't know if we will have a clear picture of who's going to be starting by 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Good point.
And your team is going to be locked in. So really, I'm glad you brought that up because I would absolutely stay away from a QB in Chicago. We just don't know. I think
something earlier, I'm going to put
Cutler as my running back.
I think it has implications for wide receivers in Chicago. But, I mean, I don't think it really changes, you know, who you go with. Actually, I went with when we get to running backs next, I actually have Matt Forte as one of the guys who I really like this week. And, you know, it doesn't, who cares? It doesn't matter if Cutler's back there, McCown's back there, but I think it is going to play a big, it's going to be a big difference if somebody gambles on one of those guys. And then at 1 o'clock, it's locked. You can't change it. Like, it's not like fantasy football. If you have both the guys on your bench, you can just switch it out. Real quick, I just want to give my steal at QB is Mike Glennon. He costs $6,500. Since starting in week four, he's had one or two touchdowns in every single game except for last week, which he was playing against Carolina, which is one of the better defenses in the league. I really think he's going to bounce back. It's one of the only – it's in Tampa Bay, so it's at home. It's one of the only games where weather is really not going to be a factor unless it's a dome game. So I think him and Vincent Jackson hook up for at least one touchdown. I think there's good upside that he could potentially get two. And that's a really great value for a QB going for $6,500. So that's my steal. Let's get into running backs. Real quick, the top projected point scorers are Matt Forte, Jamaal Charles, and then DeMarco Murray. Best bargains are going to be Matt Forte, Eddie Lacy, and then Rashard Mendenhall. So I talked a little bit about this earlier, but I always like when a player overlaps on the board in the best value and in the highest projected points. And this week, Matt Forte falls in that category, and he's at home against Dallas. So for Matt Forte, I think Christmas comes a little bit early. It's the worst defense at home. The QB situation isn't really clear, but that's not going to have any implications as far as Matt Forte's game. So I see a big game out of him this week.
Yeah, I actually thought about going with Forte on my team. I really like him. The few weeks that I have chosen, I think I chose him 3 weeks this year, and he's done really well. But
he's consistent.
He's very consistent. He costs a little bit more than I wanted to spend. My steal this week is Bobby Rainey. I know that steal would have been way cooler a few weeks ago. However, he's still...
Two weeks ago?
Yeah, it would have been awesome. But now he's still my steal. He is a unique thing in where most teams have multiple running backs, even if they have a lead one and a backup one like Moreno and Ball. But Rainey gets all the carries for the Buccaneers.
No, they have a guy. They have Leonard up still back there.
No, he received almost every carry last week. So the Buffalo Bills allow... combined 370 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs in the past 3 games. Bobby Rainey is still the number one running back, and he's very cheap. So that is my steal of the week.
Where's Bobby Rainey? How much does he cost this week?
Bobby Rainey. Let's take a quick little look here.
Here, I'll go ahead and find it. Chris, what do you like this week?
Well, not really a lock or a steal, but one person I'm really high on is Shane Vereen. I picked him last week, too. I think that he's really one of the only sure things when you combine everything that New England's looking at this week. You don't know about the backfield situation in terms of Ridley, Blount, Bolden. But Vereen is still going to be your pass-catching back. The other unknown for the Patriots against the Browns, you don't know who Joe Hayden's going to line up against.
Yeah.
Is he going to try to take out Gronk? Is he going to limit Edelman, who's been on fire lately? I would think he'd be on one of those two guys. If that's the case and Brady's playing matchups, I see a lot of Vereen out of the backfield and even some wheel routes. So I think he'll see some targets, and I think he's good value at $6,500. For a steal, I'm kind of going back and forth between a couple guys, so screw it, I'll just say them both. I think Monty Ball is good value. I know that Moreno was on the mend and getting healthier, but Monty Ball had over 100 yards last week, and he is in the 400s or 4,000s, I believe, in terms of his FanDuel value, 4,800. And then you also have sort of a boring name this year, but Lamar Miller for Miami is 5,000. He is basically the go-to guy now with Daniel Thomas out for the year. They are at Pittsburgh, who's playing better on defense, but if you're looking for a guy who's going to get a lot of carries and not cost you more than $5,000, I would look Lamar Miller's way.
Yeah, the two guys that you mentioned with Ball and Vereen, I like both of those picks a lot. Actually, it makes me think of my fantasy team. I have Ridley on my fantasy team, and luckily I didn't play him. He was out, but I ended up kind of gutsy call. I went with Fred Jackson and CJ Spiller last week as my running backs.
Wow.
That's and they worked. Both, I can't they believe both that got worked. Me over 20 points. But that brings me into one of my picks this week, which is Fred Jackson. He's kind of my bargain at wide receiver or at running back. He's 6,400. He's coming off that 21.8 game by point game against Atlanta. I actually, when I was doing my fact checking, I found out that Fred Jackson is a top 10 FanDuel running back this year, which I think is really impressive considering that he's been sharing carries with Spiller when Spiller's healthy. Now, last week, Spiller did look healthy, and I think that he's going to get more carries going forward. But when it comes to consistency and reliability, I think that Fred Jackson's the guy that you want to go with. And I think he's more likely, or Spiller's more probably more likely to break a big run. Fred Jackson's more likely to score a touchdown. So for me, I would put at 6,400. I think the safer bet is Fred Jackson, where CJ Spiller is at 65. I like them both, but I went with I prefer Fred Jackson this week.
Spiller is also more likely to break in the leg as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, Fred Jackson.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
It's really stressful. I had Spiller in one of my leagues, and I finally played him, in FanDuel, but it's very stressful watching the Bills and seeing if it's Fred Jackson or Spiller back there, especially when they cut to like a highlight like, oh, this just broke in, and then you have to see if it's a 8 or 2, and it always seems to be the wrong number. You're like, no!
Yep.
I think the other one with Monte Ball, you're right. He's starting to – so last week was the first time that I really said, I was like, all right, I can kind of see how this guy is up in that Eddie Lacy tier running back. He was running really hard, even though Moreno was clearly the guy. Every time he got an opportunity – he didn't squander. He didn't fumble this week. I think they're going to start trusting him a little bit in the red zone. So I could see that starting to pan out more and more. I want to talk also a little bit about the format. Typically, we give our FanDuel teams. This week, we're just kind of giving our value picks, our locks, our steals, or even our busts at each of the positions. If you want to see what our teams are, you can go ahead and log on to FanDuelManual.com. You can go visit like our page on Facebook. Of course, you can email us at FanDuelManual@gmail.com or hit us up at Twitter at FanDuelManual. Let's run into kickers and D real quick. I don't know if there's a ton to talk about. The highest projected kicker and the best bargains are Ryan Succop and Dan Bailey, each costing $5,000 and each projected at about 12 points, right around 12 points. The highest projected defense are also the best bargains in the Ravens, followed by New England at home against Cleveland for $5,200, and then the Cardinals at home versus the Rams for $5,500. The Ravens are the highest projected on our board and are also the least expensive in $5,000. Anything notable here worth mentioning?
I'd just like to say the Cardinals, that's why I went with. They are very good defense, and St. Louis, Zach Stacy's kind of hurt, and that's their crutch. Like, their quarterback is not good. He has trouble finding receivers. I mean, if you can get it to Austin in open space, obviously that's a big deal. But without Stacy to open it up, if he's hurting at all, I think the Cardinals are a good bet.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. The other thing, last week, how about Seattle Seahawks? I mean, not that that's surprising to anybody, but I think – it was a little – not that the defense was surprising that they're good. The fact that they were able to keep Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham to one touchdown, and that's it. That was pretty amazing to me. I think the Seahawks are legit. That team's something to contend with.
Definitely legit. It's going to be tough for the NFC to go out there and win in the playoffs. Another defense you might want to look at. On paper, they've been struggling lately with injuries and running game against them, but the Patriots are playing against – the Browns, who are down to their 18th quarterback this year. Not their 18th. But they are going to probably start a guy who is a YouTube sensation.
No, they're going with that guy?
This is probably real. They are going with this guy.
Is it the Gangnam Style guy?
No. It is a quarterback. Okay. He like throws footballs into moving pickup trucks and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I heard about this. All the Cleveland Browns are going to be wearing nets on their back.
That's right. And they're going to have wheelbarrows like and stuff.
It's just going to be like a Sandlot where they all just run and hold their hands up over their head and like they just expect it. Then the ball just hits them perfect.
Yeah.
This is so not going to go good.
What's that going to be? How much does he cost?
I don't even know his name. That's terrible. No,
I know that the both of those, what is it, Hoyer? Whedon. And Whedon are both concussed, so they have to pass their test. And if they don't, yeah, YouTube sensation. I want to see give this guy a chance.
I actually do want to see that as well.
The one thing, though, that he doesn't have to do when he's throwing it into the bed of a truck, I actually saw like a show on this guy, and there wasn't a lot of pressure on him when he was throwing. There wasn't like a guy tackling him as he was throwing.
I don't think he had pads on.
He didn't wear pads. I don't know if they're going to go with that. Like he's just out there in like kind of cut off sweatpants.
I think the fullback's going to have a video camera.
And one of the guys is at the 5 yard line sitting in a chair, in a wheelchair, just like kind of moving to the left a little bit.
Oh, now I really want to see that guy play.
Wear maxi pads. He will have that on.
I really want to see that guy play now.
Oh, Chris, do you want to see that guy play, or do you want to see Hoyer or Whedon play?
I want to see this guy play. I want to kill the Browns.
All right. So that is definitely worth mentioning. I actually, when you go to the website and check out my team, I chose the New England Patriots for that reason specifically. Let's move into wide receivers. And the highest projected is Calvin Johnson, coming in at an even 10,000, and then followed by Brandon Marshall, 8,400. The best bargain is Alshon Jeffrey,
really?
Top projected and best bargain. And then he's only 7,800. Then Torrey Smith at 6,600, followed by Kendall Wright at 5,900. Who wants to start us off with wide receiver steals, locks, bargains, duds?
Chris, hit us.
All right. I think a lock, this is incredibly boring, but Doug, you kind of hit on this earlier. The Eagles defense is not good. Brendan, you hit on this earlier. I believe you took Stafford, but Calvin Johnson is a whopping 10,000. Nothing new there, but I think sometimes it's just the name that gets him right there, but this is also a good matchup for him. Calvin at Philadelphia, Detroit, looking good in terms of the playoffs, trying to get everything clicking as best as they can. I think if you have any money left over, or if you've taken any of our advice in terms of steals at other positions, now's the time to pull the trigger on Calvin.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have Calvin Johnson as well. I am a little nervous about that ice pellets comment, but
sweep it. We all got him.
I definitely would choose him. I never do this, but I just thought it's such a great matchup. I saved the money.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's like you said. It's this year is one of those years where you can't really go off a name, especially like defense. You know, the Ravens aren't the Ravens on defense. The Steelers aren't what you expect from the Steelers on defense. Guys like Ray Rice. There's these big name guys who aren't producing like big names. And amidst all that, Calvin Johnson is kind of that exception to the rule. It's in a skill position. For quarterbacks, it's been pretty standard, but Calvin Johnson's just been consistent week in, week out. He for sure has to be in consideration, but you're going to pay for it. It's 10,000 bucks. My steal, I have a steal this week in Julian Edelman. I feel like, I think you kind of hit on something, Chris, when you talked about Hayden. Hayden has the ability to shut somebody down. Cecil Shorts got a late kind of junk time. Well, actually, it wasn't even. It was a late. He beat him late in the game for a touchdown, a deep touchdown. But that doesn't really happen very often. And I think it's going to depend if he's lined up against Gronk or Edelman. Those guys are going to suffer the targets. They're going to suffer the receptions, and their yardage is going to be limited. But for $4,900. I think he's a steal this week. Brady targeted him over 10 times in each of the last two games. Each of his last two games, he's coming off of 100-yard back-to-back games. He had two touchdowns against Denver a week ago. And last week, Brady targeted him 3 times in the red zone, which was more than any of the wide receivers last week. So I think that just shows that Brady's really trusting him a lot more. And he doesn't, you know, with papier-mâché Amendola always injured, there's not another great option out there. So it's kind of nice to see. I mean, Chris, it's got to be nice for you to see that Brady's trusting one of his receivers and one of his receivers is performing, other than Gronk, who's clearly his number one go-to guy.
Yeah, I also think that Edelman is sort of one of those examples that we've talked about that FanDuel maybe got a little bit fell asleep at the wheel with. Alshon Jeffrey, Eric Decker, they've completely updated their value. They had huge weeks last week, and they're at the top of the list now. But Edelman had 9 catches for well over 100 yards, and this is like the third or fourth week he's been putting up numbers, and he seems to be falling through the cracks here on FanDuel. So that's one of those guys, when you just keep scrolling down, you go, holy crap, how is he still available?
Yeah, how's he 4,900 yet? That's like exactly. I don't think that's going to stay like that for very long.
Yeah, I also think with Edelman, even if Hayden's on him, he's one of those players that does those short, quick routes that are even hard to defend for good cornerbacks. You know,
wide receiver screens.
Yeah, they play. If you have a good cornerback, they usually put them on someone that they won't allow a deep play. They're big time receivers, but those little quick slants are, even if you're good, are hard to guard.
A couple of the other guys, I thought there was good value in DeSean Jackson. He's only 7,000, and even less is Torrey Smith at 6,600. DeSean Jackson's up against Detroit. You know, we already talked about what Calvin Johnson's capable of, but Detroit's the fifth worst this season against wide receivers. For 7,000, I think there's really good value there.
I also like Torrey Smith as a steal. The Vikings have allowed the fourth most fantasy points. They've also allowed 36 receiving touchdowns, which is the most in the NFL. And Torrey Smith has had a touchdown in 3 of the last 4 games. He always seems to be going deep as well.
I don't want to relive it. I don't want to relive Torrey Smith.
Yeah, well, no one really puts him in that league, but he is definitely Flacco's favorite receiver, and he always seems to be going deep, so I think that's a steal.
Yeah. Any other notable mentions, any busts, or anyone that you think that you should really stay away from this week?
I would say, go ahead, Chris.
You have somebody. I don't. I was going to say something else, Doug, so you go ahead.
I was going to say Steve Smith. He's kind of one of those big names. The Panthers are on a roll, so you may assume that he's doing well as well. But the Saints are the fifth best against wide receiver, and he has 0 touchdowns in his last 5 games. So even though the Panthers are rolling, you would think he's probably rolling with it. He's really not. It's more Newton and some other guys in the run game and stuff like that. So just maybe be careful with Steve Smith.
One other, if you're kind of trying to decide between a few different guys, one thing to keep in mind too is everybody that played on Thanksgiving is coming off 10 days rest. And if you factor in that type of, you know, variable,
it's like a mini bye week.
It is a mini bye week. And it really does count for something. I don't know if it applies too much as much as it used to, but I factor that in. I think a well-rested team that's had 10 days to not only to physically prepare, but also to look at film, maybe get something going, might be a good opportunity to pick one of those guys from those teams.
Also might be worth it to mention that Mike Wallace will be playing against his old team that let him go. He's going to be Miami's on the road at Pittsburgh. It could kind of spark something in Wallace to potentially have a big game. He's only 6,800, so there's a little bit of a storyline there, but I could see Mike Wallace having a big game, or at least really wanting to have a big game against his former team.
Two different things.
I could see Mike Tomlin tackling him though.
So. that would be something to see. He got fined $100,000. I just saw that today. He got fined $100,000 for that.
If Tomlin does something again like that, it'd be freaking hilarious. $400,000.
So I watched a film back. It was so inconspicuous. I wasn't sure if he could tell that he was on the field.
Yeah, right. He had this little weird look around and then smiling after it.
He even had like a little smirk on his face, like, ooh, man, wonder if this is going to work.
Didn't work.
All right, let's move into tight ends, wrap it up. Tight ends, the highest projected tight ends. Obviously, if Gronk's on the field, he's going to be one of the top projected tight ends. He's 8,500, followed closely by Jimmy Graham at 8,200. Both are projected just over 18 points. It falls off pretty steep after that. Best bargains on the board, there's three that stick out, and that's Jared Cook at 4,900, Tony Gonzalez at 5,400, and then Kobe Fleener at 5,300. And they're all projected around that 12-point mark.
So I went, I think Gronk is a lock if Hayden's not guarding him. The same thing I said about Edelman, I think that Hayden, they used to do this with Chan Bailey and Tony Gonzalez. It seems to work if you have a shutdown cornerback guarding a tight end, because it's harder for them to get away because the shutdown quarterback is so fast. So if I saw Hayden on Gronk and I chose Gronk, I'd be pretty sad. But my steal is Jared Cook. I know he started off really well, and he's not done as great, but there's just kind of a feeling I have. And the Cardinals have allowed the most points to tight ends. They're averaging 15 points against them per starting tight end.
So I have, in terms of FanDuel scoring, Arizona is far and away the worst against tight ends.
Right.
Jacksonville and Denver. Jacksonville and Denver are the second and third worst, and they're 13 points per game against tight ends. Arizona's the worst, and they're at 18.8 points per game against tight ends. I mean, it's like it's kind of like the how Jimmy Graham and Gronk are to the other tight ends. Is what Arizona is bad to giving up points against tight ends
right.
to other teams. So yeah, I mean, if you're gonna go play the matchup, that's where you want to go. I just haven't seen the production out of Cook. I didn't see the production to pull the trigger on him this week. One of the guys who I like Vernon Davis. I like his value at 6,400. I think he's a top tier tight end. He's got great talent. But this week he's playing a matchup that I don't love. He's playing against Seattle. Last time he played against Seattle, it was 3.5 points, and that was in Seattle. So I think that Seattle definitely has a home field advantage. But it's kind of one of those guys. Even though it looks like really good value, it's one of those things that I would. It's not a safe pick. You know, of course there's upside to it. It's Vernon Davis. I think that next week, the fact that he's 6,400 this week and going against Seattle. I think next week is the time where his value is really he's gonna really pay off.
All right, so for me, my steal of the week last week was Delanie Walker, and I didn't know this at the time, but he went out of the game early in the first quarter with a concussion. So that's my excuse on that one.
Yeah, we didn't see that. The match does him also.
That's right, but if he does play this week, after having the concussion. I think he's a great value once again at 4,800 at Denver. I know we already talked about the reasons people like Fitzpatrick in that game. To a lesser extent, I think Delanie Walker is really good value. I'm going to go in a couple of leagues with Anthony Fasano from KC. Same logic I gave earlier with the KC-Washington matchup. And Fasano was also targeted quite a bit and scored a touchdown in the Denver game. I think Alex Smith trusts him, and he needs that right now because, like you said, Doug, those receivers aren't doing so great. And if you're looking for a safe pick, I think that Jason Witten had a weak Chicago passing defense for 6,500 is a good pick as well.
As long as there's not a tornado.
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me go to the Chicago weather thing here.
Brandon Roker.
Two tornadoes.
Ooh, you know what? It's partly cloudy, 11 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's tight end weather.
Yeah, that is. That's running back in tight end weather. I will tell you one other thing that I noticed. In Denver, it is also the same thing. It's going to be a little, sun's going to be creeping through, but don't be fooled. It is going to be 11 degrees, which is well below freezing, which is the point where Peyton Manning tends to melt down. So I could see them handing off quite a bit to Noshon and to Monty Ball.
Did you say 11 degrees is well below freezing?
Yeah.
Did you say negative 11 or 11?
11.
That's not...
I'm talking Fahrenheit, not Celsius.
God. All right. Well, Manning's screwed.
Do you think Manning's diarrhea will freeze on his leg or will it leak down to the bottom?
Manning's fingers are going to fall off during this game.
Yeah, 11. Yeah, 32. That's the I spent a lot of time after that Patriots game researching science stuff, and I found out that Peyton Manning and ice cubes have something in common. They both start to melt down around 32 degrees.
Wait, it's the opposite, though.
One, it is true. It's when the warmer it gets,
okay,
ice cube melts. But 32 degrees is their melting point.
Okay, got it.
And their freezing point.
That's right. All right. So, as always, follow us on Facebook. Like our page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at FanDuel Manual. Check out the website, FanDuelManual.com. It links to the podcast. You can send the link to your friends. You can check out our weekly picks, our steals, our locks, and see our teams. You can also download the spreadsheet that we're using to kind of kick off a lot of these bargains and steals. Anything else, man? Any closing remarks that you'd like to end on?
We just want to say happy holidays to everybody. Sorry we missed the last couple weeks. We're spending it with family and friends and everything. I'm sure everyone can relate to that. But we will be back. The website will be updated. Spreadsheet will be up. The contest, everything, and we'll be ready to go for the rest of the year.
I have a quick riddle, a fantasy football riddle I'd like to put out there to our listeners. Mm. What do the words bye-bye mean besides farewell?
God. What?
It's what Chris has in both of his big money fantasy leagues this week.
Bye-bye.
Nice. God.
Good for
it's
you.
It's a nice, relaxing fantasy week.
That is good. Now trying.
I think it's like the second best feeling you can have as a fantasy player to winning the whole damn thing. Just having 2 weeks of not having fantasy football in those leagues because you're that good.
Good for you. Yeah, I've got a. I was not able to get the bye. For some reason, my league breaks into two divisions. I don't really understand this. And the guy who's ahead of me, I beat him twice. Heads up. But because he has a better division record, he got the bye, and I got I have to play this week.
And he got the bye-bye.
He got the bye-bye. He's going bye-bye if I see him again because I beat him twice already.
It's only bye-bye if it's two leagues.
Bye.
The other league, again, I got third, so I did not get the bye. But that both my teams are looking really good. Doug, what's your non-FanDuel fantasy?
So
situation.
This is pretty
funny. What's your fantasy?
Your fantasy situation?
No. So I have three leagues. Two of them I'm in the playoffs. I don't have bye-byes, but pretty good. And then my other league, I don't even know how this happened, but I was 0-7. 0-7, and I won the last six games and just missed the playoffs. It was almost the greatest comeback in fantasy football history. It would have been on SportsCenter. It would have been amazing.
Also, notable to mention that I believe tomorrow night, Ron Burgundy will be hosting SportsCenter. I know that we have no affiliation with ESPN, but
yet.
I think it's worth it to mention that Ron Burgundy will be hosting SportsCenter Thursday night, and I believe he has an interview with Peyton Manning.
Nice, man.
Set your DVRs, kids. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your FanDuel matchups. We will see everybody next week, week 15.
Bye-bye.
Yo.
Bye.
It's Marky Mark here. This is the FanDuel Manual. When I was in third grade, I thought football was lame. Until I saw Elway throw a long bomb on Sunday. Then it really grew on me, started playing fantasy. Realized Adam Schefter was the man of my dreams. Some X's and O's, that's what we are slinging. Football knowledge is what we are bringing. Rodgers at quarterback, the Niners on D. McCoy is your tailback and Gronk at TE. Make sure you check your matchups, those can get tricky. Start any wideout playing Oakland or Philly. Now sit back, relax, focus and listen. The FanDuel Manual, three men on a mission, yeah.